Show your T-ball team spirit and buy your hardworking Art Lab team a cup of coffee, which helps fuel purchases of high-octane equipment and T-ball tech that get poured back into percolating, highly caffeinated content for you. Just go to buymeacoffee.com and search Therapy Bites.
On this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey, T-Ballers, welcome back to another great episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab. I have a question for you. What happens to a person if they run behind a car? Anybody? They get exhausted. You get it? I know, it's a silly joke. Are you running on fumes? Well, I have another question for you. What are you usually doing at 6:30 a.m.? Oh, I know. You've already laced up your tennis shoes and you're halfway through your daily 6 a.m. 6-mile run, right? No? Well, maybe you should be. Maybe you all should be. And today we're talking the mental health benefits of running and how your life and longevity may actually depend upon it. Listen up, because Mark and Hamani are special guests today. Hami Mahani and Mark Passant are here to talk to us about transforming those fumes into fuel. Next up on Therapy Bites Art Lab. Join us.
Stay tuned following the interview for On the Couch and Off the Rocker, our special guest's psycho-silly analysis by Art Lab's own head cabbager, Dr. Ima Freudknot.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Okay, T-Ballers, we have Hami Mahani and Mark Passant in the Art Lab today for an episode called Rise and Shine, the Psychology of Resilience and the 6 a.m. Run. I know that sounds awful early, but stick with us because we're going to talk about turning fumes into fuel, the mechanics of running, and not just for your life. The power of running to maximize mental health, motivation, and where can I get some of that? And low points, overcoming hurdles both on the track and in life. And we'll kind of wrap up with some top tips on lifelong health and wellness. Guys, Mark is a former collegiate athlete. He's an expert on using physical fitness to maximize mental health. And he is the host of his own podcast, to get this, Relatively Normal. That's pretty cool. He uses experiences of his own struggles with weight management. He's lost over 100 pounds at one time. And bad therapy experiences. I can't wait to hear about those. And mental health struggles. He uses some of his own mental health struggles and experiences with those to help others, like you guys listening in today. Hami, at age 35, noticed that his life was running downhill, and he decided to start running the other way. His 6 a.m. runs started after his family told him that 6 p.m. was family dinner time. Imagine that. He realized that there was no all-in-one nutrition solution that existed out there for energy and recovery. So guess what? He started his own, and it's now to be found at 6amrun.com.
Stay in the stands at the end of the interview, T-Ballers, and witness our special guest slug a bite-sized brain ball with your name all over it, clean out of the Art Lab.
Hey, guys, I've got a question for you before we get started. Did you hear what happened to the race between the lettuce and the tomato?
No.
No, you didn't hear about that. Here's another silly joke. Well, the lettuce was always ahead, and the tomato was always playing catch-up.
Oh, no. That's a good.
All right.
You're giving me way too many, too much ammo. My kids are going to hate me with these bad jokes because I'm going to repeat them.
I've got more where that came from. Hey, guys, welcome to the episode today. Tell us a little bit about, we started out with Mark there on the intro. Hami, tell us a little bit about this whole dinner time thing with your family. They didn't like the 6 p.m., and you segued to the ungoshly hour of 6 a.m. in the morning. Isn't that crazy?
It's not. It is when you say it out loud, but it's really not. I mean, you know, I'm no different than anyone else. I mean, I have two daughters, Mark and I. One of the things about Mark and I that connected us in this endeavor together is we're so so many things of our it's aligned, but everyone can relate to this. You know, I have two daughters, a 15-year-old and a 7-year-old. They're both active in activities and sports and things like that. And I had a corporate, you know, you always say 9 to 5, but it's never 9 to 5. It's 9 to 6 or it's 9 to 7. And you're working sometimes answering emails at home. It was just a matter of where can I fit? You know, physical fitness is just when it was not in my life, there was a depression and there was a void. And when it is back in my life, I just feel better personally. So, you know, I admit even hearing someone say, oh, get up at 6 a.m. or, you know, and you can't do it after work. Listen, some people make it work after work and good for them. But what I found was getting up early, getting it done early, I was going into work, and because not everyone is an entrepreneur, and that's okay. But going into work at my corporate America job, I was going in with such a high from completing a morning workout that I really was dominant in the workforce. So, you know, it's that kind of that journey as well. Not just, you know, we obviously a nutrition company came out of it that I saw the void there, but getting up early and getting moving, you know, it's Newton's law, right? A body in motion does stay in motion. And then, you know, you're much better going to bed at a more reasonable time, you know, because you did get up early, you got so much done. Come 9, 10 p.m., I mean, you are ready to crash and get really great rest and do it all over again the next day.
You know, it sounds to me that there's some physics, that some kind of weird physics at work there. That
yes.
To get energy, you have to expend energy. And I think that most of society thinks the way to get energy is to sit in a lazy boy and do nothing. And it's really just the opposite of that. Mark, have you found that to be true in your experience, that you actually have to expend energy to get energy?
That's absolutely true. And whether we're talking about physical energy, you know, spiritual energy, mental energy, there has to be that give and take there but it also depends. I will say this, it depends on the person and what recharges their batteries. And for Hami and I, and it is crazy that, you know, we've only known each other a couple years, but we're similar in the fact that the more energy we put out physically, the better we feel. Now, there's somebody that can come home from work and be drained and recharge by sitting down and watching a show for an hour, or reading a book, or, you know, just going out and listening to the sounds of nature. But for someone like me, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this too, overall, I just feel better as a person, as a productive member of society, when I have that energy in, energy out type motion going on. Because, and that's something I've worked on intentionally in the last year of my life, where I've really looked at the world in a sense of energy, and what I put out, I usually get back, and vice versa. If I don't put enough out, I usually don't get much back.
I don't want to sound all woo woo to our crowd today, but it's I know it does sound a bit woo woo, but it's almost like you are synergizing with the universe, that we're here for a purpose. And of course, everybody knows my thing is philosophy, and that's where I kind of cut my teeth in undergrad school, is on philosophy. But we're here for a purpose, and engaging in that purpose, putting energy out there. And I really don't mean this to sound woo. I'm really far from a woo woo kind of guy. But we put that out there, and we do get that sent back to us multiplied. And the research about this, just real quick, and I'll drop some of this in the show notes for those nerds of you out there that want to dig into this further. The research on this, particularly with depression, is called behavioral activation. And the main thing that keeps depression going is behavioral deactivation. And Mark, I know that in your bio, you talk very clearly, and on your podcast, of your own struggles with some of these things? And what effects do you find your physical fitness having on your mental, on your mindset?
I mean, that's the question right there. That's a great question. And it's something that I really hadn't come to terms with, probably until last year, where I always did one and not the other. Like, if there was a part of my adult life where I was, you know, going to therapy and doing the mindfulness exercises and making sure I was taking care of my mental health, but the waistline was getting a little bigger. I was a little, you know, I was tired all the time. And then I said, well, let me hit the gym and go running a lot, and that'll take care of the other part of it. And, you know, I had a moment, an aha moment, where I was actually on a phone with a wonderful therapist. And, you know, I told him, I said out loud, like, I've lost the weight. I've got in shape. My wife and I bought the house. We had the kids. We have a good job. Like, I've checked all the boxes, and I still feel this way. And his response was, first, he was like, all right, let's get you back on my couch. And two, there are two things you have to be intentional about, and they will work together, but you can't work on one and expect the other one to just fix itself. And at that moment, it kind of clicked for me. And, you know, I went through a couple years of ups and downs of seeing what worked for me. I was a runner at the time. I hadn't met Hami, or I hadn't learned about 6 a.m. run. And I love telling the story, and I tell him all the time, is the first time I tried his product, I was out of the trail out here in close to where I live in Georgia, and I was supposed to go on probably a 3 or 4 mile run before work. And it was the first morning of trying 6 a.m. Raspberry tea was the flavor of Sprint, amazing flavor. And I ran 9 miles.
Holy moly. Wow.
And I ran 9 miles, and I could have run more, but I had to work. I was already late. So, and I immediately got online and, you know, made a video, posted it to his Facebook site. And I was like, I'm hooked. I'm done. This is it. Somehow I have to be a part of this company. I have to know more about Hami. I got it. It's an amazing product. And to this day, it's the only pre-workout I will use. And regardless, I'm going to the gym or going to on a run, but it's, you know, for something, what runners are always, especially runners that use it for mental health coping and things like that. And runners are always looking for something that just helps them go a little farther, you know, push themselves to the limit. Runners are always looking for something that sets the PR. And, you know, there's your runner out there who just goes and runs that slow jog and just does it for, you know, I just want to get my heart rate up. But a lot of us, like, I run 10Ks, I run the Peachtree Road Race every year, and I want to, you know, knock seconds off the clock. We're always looking for that. And I found it. And I'm happy to say I found it in this product.
Yeah, that's amazing, Mark. I've got to ask you, I don't want you to tell us something that you'd have to kill us if you told us. But what's the secret? What are you sneaking into that stuff? Because I guess methamphetamine's illegal. You can't stick that in there. what's in there that makes the difference?
You know,
I'm talking to Hami. Yeah. Hami, what are you putting in this, in your secret juice there?
Well, I want to get to that. I want to get back. One thing I just want to say that's so important to me, and I use this example probably on every podcast I appear on. I just want to get this out there, you know, and right now is a perfect time to say it because it's that season. Football, you know, one of the things I love about football and the NFL is it's once a week and it's on Sundays and people get together and, you know, you veg out and it's a lot of people's cheat days, quote unquote, right? But one thing I learned, and I learned this a long time ago, if I get up on a Sunday morning and, you know, especially if you're on the West Coast or whatever, football starts kind of really early and those, you know, football shows, they come on ESPN and Fox really early, right? If I go downstairs on my couch, get a big bowl of cereal, start watching football on Sunday and just veg out, that kind of becomes my whole day, right? Odds are I'm not leaving that couch the rest of the day. And by the way, you need those kind of days. So that's not a bad thing. But what I found was if on a Saturday, Sunday morning, I get up and I'm off of work, quote unquote, right? But I get up and I run. When I get back home, I'm like, wait a minute, the house needs to get vacuumed. Wait a minute, I got to run out real quick and grocery shop for the week. It just starts this trend of, well, I'm already up. I'm already doing stuff. Let me get this done. Let me get that done, right? So I want people to know that when, because you made a great comment of, well, wait, you have to move to get more energy. I don't know if it's mental or what makes that happen. But for a lot of people, if they just, and all I ask is you just try that, right? And you will see you're already up. You know, that's literally getting up and doing one active motion does start that kind of hamster wheel, hence the title of my book. But now to your point on what runners need and what we have in 6 a.m. run, you know, a lot of people think you need these like energy drinks and this, you know, these sodas and sugar and things like that. What I learned and what I love when I hear Mark's story, runners, especially at our age, 35 plus, when you kind of hit that mid 30s and, you know, you have kids and you already have a million things on your plate in terms of errands and things you've got to get done, you want your body to feel good. There's no secret what our secret sauce really is, and that's our amino acids. What I learned was that amino acids and muscle recovery, especially when you're 30 plus, you know, when you're 20 years old, you know, when I was 20, I could get on a million roller coasters. I could live at the gym. I had no fear. My body was, I felt, I probably didn't, and this is not a bad thing, and knock on wood, I say this. When I was 20, I had no thoughts of death. I was fearless. I thought I was Superman mentally. You know what I mean? But you hit 30, you start cracking when you get out of bed. You hit 35, you know, your body's not moving, you know, your balance, all that stuff. I give guys like LeBron James so much credit to see what they're doing in their late 30s. I mean, and Tom Brady. But again, our secret sauce, to answer your question, I know I gave you a long-winded thing there, but I just wanted to get those two things off of my chest here, you know, on this show. Really, it is energy. We have a green tea for energy. But what Mark is addressing and why Mark felt, oh my God, I can run 9 miles, in that marathon is 5,000 milligrams of our unique amino acids that we've proprietarily blend together.
Mark, I was just wondering, what kind of brought you down the path to start wanting to help others with their physical fitness and with their mental health?
I don't think anybody's asked me that question like directly mm-hmm. like that. I mean, it's my, from the moment I can remember, like the remote, from the moment I can go back in my history and remember anything, I've always like wanted to help people, and I've always empathized. I had this high level of empathy, and it's just something I was born with. And it, you know, we talk about the psychology of things and brain function and how people are different. You know, empathy is something that, of course, it can be learned, but a lot of people are born with that trait. And from the moment I can go back in my history, I always wanted to help people. I you know, I played sports and I was competitive in the sense that I wanted to win and I wanted to get better. However, I always felt bad when, you know, we were in a championship game and the other team, I always felt bad for the team that lost. And I always was the one consoling their players. And I always thought it was weird. And please don't, you might want to take this out because it might embarrass me. But if you watch any of the big action movies, the Transformers, Avengers, things like that, like there was a moment in one of the Transformers movies where they demolished DC, they demolished Chicago. And I hope I'm not giving anything away. Those movies came out a long time ago. But the thought in my head was like, man, I really feel bad for the people that have to rebuild that city. And it's like, it's a fictional movie. And I remember talking to my therapist about that. And he's like, you just are overly empathetic. And I really feel that the world would be a much better place if people would learn empathy. And what I mean by that is I'm not talking about you have to always like think about the little guy and always like give everyone the shirt off your back or anything like that. Everybody would be broke and it'd be terrible. But what I do like to at least preach a little bit is that it's not a terrible thing to try to look at the world through another lens. Like, it's not a terrible thing for, you know, a lot of the podcast shows that I've done lately have been on women's issues because I'm an African-American man. I don't know what it's like to live in those shoes. And for me to become a better ally, you know, I want to know more about that. I don't know what it's like for Hami to be an entrepreneur and a CEO and what he does on a day-to-day and the stress he's under. And that's why I pick his brain. Whenever we talk, I pick his brain and I want to know. And every time he tells me, sorry, Mark, I couldn't make it, my response is, dude, you're running a company. Like, it's cool. So, but I really feel like I don't want to be the only one at anything when it is absolutely a magnificent thing. If I could give every runner in the world, if I could pay for 6 a.m. for every runner to have it, I would want them to have it. If I was running in a race, like I want everyone to have what I have because I don't want an unfair advantage. I want to make sure my best is matched up against your best. And that's how I feel. I don't like it any other way. And that might make me weird. It might make me kind of crazy. But when it came to mental health awareness and the stigma around talking about it, especially in the African-American community, I said, you know what, if people see this 6'5", you know, strong black man talking about his issues with anxiety, maybe the next person will do it. And then if that person does it, maybe their daughter or sister or mother or somebody else will do it and accept them. And at the end of the day, maybe we end the stigma on this. So that's a very pragmatic way of thinking, but that's to answer your question, that's why I do it.
Wow.
Well, Mark, a follow-up question to that. Where do you think that comes from? Are you really 6'5"? Holy moly.
Yeah. where my height comes from? I can tell you where my height comes
from. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm 6'2", man. You got 3 inches on me there.
Yeah.
But as men, and we're a group of men, except for one, Sarah's sitting here. We've allowed her into the clubhouse. But
I made it. No.
But my question is, what is it about men in particular where struggling with mental health issues is so stigmatized? And then what is it about being a black man which causes more stigma? It's just not cool to be a guy and struggle with mental health stuff?
Yeah, and it's societal and it's generational, and we have to think about the roles that are grandfathers and great grandfathers played in this world and what they had to do. You know, even looking back, it was our job to be the protector. And as the protector, we weren't allowed to come back to the house and say, man, I really had a tough day. And I just need some me time. Like, that word would get around the neighborhood that, oh my God, Mark, did you hear what Mark said to his family? Are you kidding me? That guy is weak. I can't believe he said that. And what happens is young men, young boys emulate their fathers, and it just keeps going down and down and down. And what I've asked a lot of my listeners and a lot of people my age is let's be the generation that stops that. Let's be the generation that says, hey, if you're tired, say you're tired, because what happens is that we hold all of this in, and people never talk about who has the highest rates of suicide or suicide attempts in the country, and it's men. And that seems to be swept under the rug a lot of times. And a lot of times it can just be from having a conversation, and because we have one woman on the call, I can let you into a little secret about men is that
she's married to one of us.
Okay. All right.
She
I'll let you
has
a little secret.
A man that lives in her house.
So Sarah, I'll tell you this. We constantly tell people how we feel, but we do it in a way that only really men can understand, where we'll just sit down on the couch next to another guy and just sigh really deeply and say, man, what a day. Like, I just can't believe this day. I am stressed. Mm-hmm. But then the person next to him, who's usually a man, will say, oh, I got you. Let's go grab a beer. Let's watch the game. We're good to go. And then that's the conversation. That's it. There's no pause the TV, because we can do that now, and say, oh, what happened? Tell me about it. I want to hear. There's not a lot of that. And you should see the reactions I get when my friends will text me or call me or be in the car with me and they'll say that, and I'll literally stop what I'm doing, turn the radio off and say, "Hey, I'm listening. I got 15 minutes. What's going on?" And that's how men, we don't come out and say, "Hey, homie, I'm feeling really depressed today. This happened to," we don't do that. But what we will do is we'll have the body language. We'll just, you know, we'll head and hands. But we have, men weren't really given the opportunity to learn critical thinking when it comes to how do I respond when my male friend is having a hard time, other than, "Hey, let's go grab a beer and watch the game." Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to stop that.
And I want to give a quick metaphor, and then I want to get Hami's take on this. But one of my Christmas gifts this year was a set of 110-pound dumbbells. I just carried them into my little workout room last night. And you guys listening to the podcast, imagine this. Imagine my son is watching me lift these dumbbells, and I have to make sure I don't grunt. I have to make sure there's no grimace on my face. I have to make sure that they seem like they're as light as a feather. Now, I hope you're getting that that sounds very ridiculous, because it is. I have a buddy of mine that owns a gym, and I still kid him about it. He put up signs saying, "No loud grunting or yelling or anything like that in the gym." And I said, "Man, what are you putting these signs up for? It's a freaking gym." He said, "Well, people get offended at grunting." And I said, "Again, it's a gym, you know." And my point is this. What's the best way if you're lifting weights with your son to lift weights? You let him see that even to you, no matter how strong you are, the weight is heavy. Number two, that you have difficulty lifting it. But number three, that it can be done properly. And it is the same in life, that you need to let your son see you struggle, but let him see you struggle in a healthy way, and do that heavy emotional lifting in a healthy way. And by the way, that's not with drugs or alcohol or sitting on the couch and eating bags of chips and boxes of honey buns all day long. But it's not about not letting people see you struggle. For if you don't let your sons and the men, the young men in your life, see you struggle, they don't learn anything. Let them see you struggle, but let them see you struggle to get up that heavy life weight in a healthy way. With your family, Hami, I would suspect that they know that you get out and run. They know this is part of your life. How do you frame that for them? How do you indicate to them the importance of that, not only in your life, but in their life?
So that's actually a great question. And that I love getting that. I wish more people asked that question. I tell my family, if you want the best husband, if you want the best father, you need to give me an hour. We call it my me time. So my wife even coined the term rangry, because I didn't run, right? So it's so important. That 1 hour, I had on my podcast a hypnosis. And sometimes people even, they get this while they're driving. You drive somewhere. You drove, don't get me wrong. You're not drunk. You're not inebriated. But you just don't remember the drive, right?
Correct.
I sometimes don't remember the run. It's just an hour, part of it. And going back to even our movement, it's just an hour where I might have a podcast or something playing. I do run with headphones and with some kind of like music, or, but sometimes it kind of becomes like white noise to me, right? Because it's like an hour of just clearing my head. You know, daughter had a bad game. Maybe a business deal didn't go through. Wife is giving me a bunch of chores around Christmas time. I got to get so-and-so's gift or go pick it up, right? So there's so many things that go on in the real world. And everything is always real world. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, there's just so many things that go on a daily basis that is just my hour. Sometimes it does scare me, I'll tell you, because if there's an emergency or something, I am unreachable for that 1 hour. But to answer your question and not give you too much rhetoric without going right to the answer to that question, I tell my wife, "Honey, I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I am better for you if you allow me to be selfish for myself for this 1 hour." And they agree with that. And that's if I didn't have that support, But I get that support because I think they see that. The days that I don't run or the days that I haven't been able to go run, or they know that I'm, you know, a little antsy. They know that I'm not my best self. So they know that they're getting the best, not to talk in third person or sound kind of crazy, but they know they're getting the best Hami Mahani by giving me 1 hour to myself every day.
That's fantastic.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com. Welcome to Social Media Smackdown. Tonight, the irresistible force meets the illogical object. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to reason!
Here's an Instagram post from Yellow Journalism disinformation platform Psych2Bay. It's well-meaning until you discover that the meaning is to sell you something, and worse yet, they use clickbait slides that perpetuate distorted thinking to do so. Here's one of the kooky Kool-Aid drinking pseudo-psychological slides among the many of their mumbo-jumbo posts where they purport to teach about healthy relationships but sabotage people instead. The post says, is it time to cut off a friendship? Number one, how do they react when you share exciting news with them? As if how a person reacts when you share exciting news is telling you when you should cut off a relationship. Two, do they ask about you or are they absorbed in themselves? As if someone is interested in themselves, they can't also be interested in you. Number three, here's the F word alert, do you feel like your most authentic self around them? As if how you feel can tell you whether you're your authentic self or whether a feeling can tell you whether you should end a relationship or not. Well, there you go, folks. If you want great advice on how to ruin relationships and die lonely, just follow the advice of the above kooky Kool-Aid drinking pseudo-psychological social media mumbo-jumbo post sadly pushed out by a supposed mental health account. But hey, what do I know? I'm only in the mental health field for the last 38 years, got a dual PhD in neuropsychology and forensic psychology, and treat patients every day who sabotage themselves and their relationships with such disabling distortions. T-Ballers, friendship is not about what you get, but what you give. If you're unwilling to do this and want to dictate how friends respond to you, maybe it's you who are self-absorbed and self-obsessed and need to check your own health as a friend. T-Ballers in training give psychologically poisonous posts like this the 1-2 punch.
What a slobber knocker! The winner by psychological smackdown, Doug Heath! No pronouns were harmed during the production of this podcast.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab. Bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
Individual psychological concepts are very different animals from one another. And while they are often readily observable in the wild, the Therapy Bites Art Lab Zoo affords us a unique opportunity to study them in a safe and controlled environment. Welcome to the Therapy Bites Art Lab Creature Feature. Oh, good heavens!
Welcome, T-Ballers, to this episode's Creature Feature. I'm your host, Safari Sarah, and I am in this rainforest today on the hunt for the emotional reasoning gnat. Now, you'll know the emotional reasoning gnat because he has a little compass with different emotions on it. And the sad thing about this gnat is he lets his emotions determine what he does in any given situation. So, for example, if I was practicing using the emotional reasoning gnat, I may think, well, you know what? I feel anxious. I really don't want to go into the store, so I'm just not going to do it. you know what? In fact, I'm not going to leave my house. I want to stay right here. I don't want to have to deal with anybody or anything. But the problem with that is, first of all, our emotions are not a good indicator of what we should be doing. That should be our thoughts. Now, if I do experience an emotion that's uncomfortable or unpreferred, that should be a little red light reminding me, hey, check out what you're thinking. Is it accurate? Is it something that's healthy for me? Is it beneficial? What could I think instead that might help me with this situation? So practice those arties, those accurate, realistic thoughts. Just because I feel a certain emotion doesn't mean I have to act on it. So let's take the earlier example. Just because I feel anxious doesn't mean that I can't go in the store and get done what I need to get done. It doesn't mean that I don't need to leave my house. It doesn't mean that anything bad is going to happen. There may be something going on in the background. Maybe I'm having an inaccurate thought and I can work on that. But in the meantime, pushing through and going ahead and doing what needs to be done is the best thing and the healthiest thing for me. Thank you so much for joining me with this creature feature, T-Ballers, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye!
Thank you for joining us for the Therapy Bites Art Lab creature feature.
Live the art life. Become a T-Ball Teammate Inner Circle supporter on Patreon at patreon.com/therapybites.
Here's he and the T-Ball team.
And Mark, for you, kind of carrying on with what Hami just talked about, what are some of the top benefits in your life for you, but also for your family, of you pursuing this lifestyle of fitness?
So I'm going to have to steal Rangri because my wife does the exact same thing where it'll be just a day where I'm being a little bit too witty with her, you know, being a little too snapbackish, and she'll just say, you need to go for a run. Like she'll say that, like just go for a run.
Oh, good for her. Wow.
So, and I'll do it and I'll come back and she'll literally look at me and be like, better? I'm like, oh man, so much. Thank you.
But it's our time out.
It's like that Snickers commercial. Yeah. You're not you without a Snickers.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're not you without a run.
Snickers is running.
So I have two daughters also, and they're kind of the middle of Hami's. Mine are 9 and 7, and they're both, one is absolutely into sports and she's been playing for a couple of years now. The other one just started into soccer and she really likes it, which I hope she continues because she's an amazing athlete. At 7, she's the size of a 12-year-old, but she's just strong and fast. But I really feel, and my wife feels this way too, is that it's almost like everything that is bad in the world, everything that makes me nervous, everything that makes me sad, unhappy, is like packed in my gym bag. It's like packed in there. And once I get back home, it's all left there. It's all left. And there is this thought for some people that, you know, self-care is selfish, and that couldn't be further from the truth. My wife and I are totally different in the fact that I am a busybody. I like to be productive. I like to just pack my day and have a workout here, have work here, have lunch here, have a project here, record 2 podcast episodes, you know, edit 2 of them. And then, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock and we're good. Like that makes my brain happy. You know, for her, it is, you know, she works, she's an attorney. She works long hours. She comes home. She might get a 15 to 30 minute workout in. And then she wants to watch her shows. And for the longest time, I tried to live in her space. And then I tried to bring her into my space. And I'm terrible at binge watching because I'm the person to ask all the questions. I haven't watched 2 seasons of it. And I'm like, hey, who does this person, did they kill that? And she literally is like, please just go away. Like, stop watching. And then, you know, I might ask her if she wants, she's allergic to running. She won't run. She has her bike upstairs and she has some small weights and she does her thing. And I've become her quote unquote personal trainer. Now that's a mini series in itself, but it's happening. But like Hami said, like you're getting the best version of Mark Paisant when I'm able to go to the gym in the morning, when I'm able to go for a run, when I'm able to exert all my energy out and get all the good energy in. And that's, and I've come to understand it, which I think people don't really get this wholeheartedly sometimes, is that this is me. Like, I'm not Mark who likes to work out or run. I am a runner. I am a fitness enthusiast. Like, this is, when you describe me, you have to include that in there.
You know, that sounds just very similar to what Arnold Schwarzenegger just asked about working out. And Arnold, who is now, gosh, what's he, 75 years old or something, said he'll always work out. He'll work out till he dies. And, of course, he calls it the pump. I go into the gym, I get the pump. And he'll always do that. And I think you're right. You have to make that part of your pattern of living. And for myself, that's, I'm not at the level of you guys. I'm a 3-day-a-week, quote, runner. And I don't pound the pavement. And I have a question about that. I have an elliptical. I love to run, but it's really hard on my knees and my hips and my low back. And I'll get your advice on that, because I know there's lots of listeners who are with me that, gosh, running on what, concrete or asphalt? Come on. And I am a couple of decades past my mid-30s. If you guys are in your mid-30s, I've been on the planet a couple of decades longer, and I can just tell you, if you think things change in your mid-30s, just hang out for a couple of decades. We'll talk 20 years from now. But I'm on an elliptical 3 days a week. I do high-intensity interval training, which to our listeners means that I will really, really pump it up for a sprint for about 90 seconds. And then I'll do a run for 60 seconds, and it's back and forth and back and forth, and I'm paying attention to my heart rate, which there's some science there that you can look up. I'll try to drop some of that research in the show notes also. But what would be your advice, guys, for folks that are listening and saying, hey, man, it's good for you if you're in your mid-30s. I'm in my mid-50s, mid-60s, mid-70s. What about us folks?
I mean, I'm going to take this first because I want you to have most of it, because I know. But one thing I wanted to mention is you mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger and how important it is as we get older to incorporate, weights into the things we do and keeping our muscles growing and building, because that is people. I don't know if they always realize that muscles include the building blocks of the human body, of your brain, of, you know, blood, of nervous system, all that stuff, like the mitochondria and protein, amino acids in your muscles. That's the building blocks of all things in your body. Good eyesight, hair, nails, all that stuff, it comes from there. So if you're, you know, if you're looking to be as healthy as you can later in life, or, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, you don't have to go in the gym and look like Arnold or anybody like that. But it's always good to have 2 or 3 days of just weight training to build, to continually build your muscles. Now, I kind of want to bring up a past show that you did, and you talked to a person I've talked to also. I forgot his name. He was a personal trainer and really good guy. Austin, yes.
Austin Wheeler, yeah. Yeah, he's a powerhouse.
Yes, Austin. Yeah, he's a great guy. And, you had mentioned, I think, to him that you get through your running. You don't like it all the time. It's something that
I never like it.
I think you mentioned the same thing about leg day at the gym.
I never liked that either.
I'm on your show. I'm going to tell you right now, I love both of those things.
Wow. And what are you smoking?
The reason, and I'll tell you why, because a few years ago, every run was hard. And I used to run 120 to 150 miles a month. I used to run a lot. And every time I ran, I was like, why? Like, this is terrible. Like, why does it, it's still hard. And I would just get through it. And at the end, I'd feel great that I accomplished it. But I was like, man, it was really tough. And I'm like, when does this get easier? And the answer is it never gets easier. The answer is you get stronger. You get tougher. Correct. Once I incorporated leg day and started focusing on legs and core, there is not a run that hurts me anymore. And I feel great running a mile, 3 miles, a 10K, whatever. Like, I will push myself at the end, but my body feels great. And it's because I did that cross training. So for anybody out there who's listening, and I know you guys would love to hear Hami's take, because I'm sure he has some stuff he would like to say too. But anybody out there who's a runner, because I was that guy who was just a runner. I could run 10 miles, but I couldn't lift more than like the bar and a plate. It was like it looked great, but I was like, I'm pretty weak. And try to just incorporate squats, you know, leg lifts, anything like that, that gets your core and your quads and your hamstrings and your calves engaged for 2 to 3 times a week. Doesn't have to be anything strenuous, but work on those muscles and you'll see how your running changes.
Yeah, no, I, it's funny, Mark said, it's you, people like things, right? I like running. I don't even know if I like running. My wife and I debate about this. Sometimes I get up, I don't want to, but I force myself to. So I don't know that sometimes I like running. I think I'd be lying if I said that wholeheartedly. But I know I like it more than lifting weights. I like it more than stretching, right? Stretching is very difficult for me, and it's long and it's slow and it's boring. But, you know, you need to stretch, right? Lifting weights, same thing. I one of the things when I started this company, even I knew, okay, I'm going down a path where I might segregate people, right? Like we're making a product for cardio and for runners. Elliptical, very great. One of the reasons I actually love CrossFit, I run by a CrossFit place by my house. And what I see in there, I love, and it's funny, we're having this discussion. They're in there banging, throwing weights, throwing these like big kind of things, right? But then they run out of the building and I see them run around the building, right? The intervals you were talking about. It's combining it all. And one of my goals for 2023 is to join that and do that. Because I need to do more weights. When I did my first marathon last year, I did not squat or do any knee work or leg work, as Mark was saying. And the worst part of my marathon was when it was over, my knees were just done because they weren't strong enough to, you know, you need strength. I don't care what anybody tells you. You need a little bit of it all, right? So it's taking that balance of what do you like, but also you got to throw in there the things you don't like. And do those. And that's where you find the hardest workers, right? That kind of Mamba mentality, right? What are you going to do that's also going to separate yourself? I know I do what I like every day, and that's the running. But my goal for 2023, my personal New Year's resolution is, Hami, add the stuff that you don't like, weightlifting, push-ups, sit-ups, things that I don't like doing. But I'm sure if I add those to my running, it's going to just elevate me so much higher. And that's what a lot of people don't do. But you need a little bit of everything. There's no question those people that are out there that say, you know, oh, you need to lift weights. You know, it's a little bit of everything. I don't think there's one person. Same thing, and we can get into that. I don't want to get into a rabbit hole. But, you know, you hear people on the, are you vegan? Do you like meat? Do you like this? Do you like that? You know, I'm of the belief that, like, you know, people have to do what they like and what they feel is best for them. But sometimes in moderation, a little bit of everything's not the worst thing, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Mm-hmm. And on that point, I'd like to say to our listeners, what is the science has actually told us what the perfect diet is. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. What the perfect workout regimen is. And it's very, very simple. It's the one that you will do and keep on doing. Pick something that is manageable, that you can commit to, and you can keep on doing, and that is the perfect diet and the perfect exercise regimen for you. And that brings us to one of, I think, the most important question of our episode today, and that is how do you get that motivation to keep on doing it? Because you guys just heard Hami, a world-class runner, owns his own freaking fitness company, say on an episode that's going to be aired live to everybody, he said it out loud, you can hold him to it, that sometimes he doesn't want to get up and run, but he does it anyway. Now, how do our listeners pull that off? How do they pull off, I don't want to do it, and then they find the motivation? And after he's done, I'll give you the science behind motivation. But how do you get that secret elixir to go ahead and do it anyway?
Mark, can I take this first too? So let me tell you something. I'm going to use my daughter as an example. This summer, my daughter was in a workout, and I saw the trainer push her in ways she's never been pushed before. And I saw a look in my daughter's face I never saw before. And I walked up to her and I said, listen, you've never worked this hard before. We can go home right now. I'm proud of you. I love you. You're my kid. I said, but let me ask you a question. The feeling you have now, and then you quit. Can you imagine how you'll feel if you stick this out and you finish it? That feeling you'll have later. And Layla looked at me and she just goes, I'm gonna stick this out. And she finished her workout, dripping sweat, gets in my car. I think my car smelled for like 3 days. but it was like, I told her, and that's to answer your question, you know, it's that high. And that's where it's a perfect place to kind of, even if we wrap this up, it's that runner's high. The feeling of I don't want to do it is there 100% every morning. It's there every morning. I ask myself, my Christmas gift to myself, by the way, my Christmas gift to myself on Christmas morning is not running. I get up with my family. We go downstairs. We do gifts. I don't run on Christmas morning. That's my gift to myself. But every other day, the very next day, because here's the thing, the feeling when I'm done, that adulation, that winning a championship feeling, that feeling of victory, that's what I'll call it, outweighs the feeling of doubt of not wanting to do it. And what makes me say, let's do it, is knowing that feeling I'm going to have after versus the feeling I'll have the rest of the day if I know. And I don't know if I curse a little bit. I'm trying so hard to be professional here.
we'll bleep it out.
So knowing, oh man, I'm going to feel like, you know what, if I don't do this workout all day, because a little bit of me is going to know I was a quitter this morning. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but the feeling of getting it done. And by the way, and let me say this too, and especially with the technological world we live in today, right? Some of my runs are crap, are really bad. I mean, I'm doing 11-minute miles sometimes because I'm just so out of it, or maybe I ate like crap the day before, right? But I still got it done. And then some days are great runs. I'm running my 8-9-minute miles. You know, that's really top tier for my age group, right? But at the end of the day, it's not even about the quality of it. It's about getting it done. And I think that's where people need to also not worry about the quality. You know, you had mentioned, you know, your knees and not wanting to go on the asphalt. I think also the thing we got to introduce to the world, Mark, and you and I got to do this a better job next year. We use the word run so much. Why not say jog? What's wrong with jogging? Jogging is not a bad thing.
True. Or moving. I'm going to move from point A to point B. It doesn't matter how you get there. Walking. You can run, you can jog, you can skip, you can crawl.
100%.
But move your body from point A to point B. And let me offer and you were hinting at it, but I'd like to put a finer edge on it coming to the close of our episode today. And that is give yourself a different definition of success.
Yes.
If you're doing mindfulness, people struggle a lot with mindfulness, and we don't have time to get into that, but they'll say, I didn't do it right. Or I did a workout, but I didn't do it right. Or I went for a run or a jog or a crawl. I didn't do it right. Guess what your new definition of success is? Your definition of success is making an agreement with yourself to do it and then showing up for that appointment.
Yes.
If you show up, that is success. Your time, goodness, I watch my time. I mean, my mile on my elliptical is a good time for a mile is 6 minutes, 43 seconds. But the other day it was 6 minutes and 58 seconds. What does that mean? It means absolutely nothing because I showed up. Guys, just show up and you'll see your life change. And by the way, the life that you're going to live 5 years from now, 15, two decades from now, you're deciding that right now. Right now, today, you're deciding, and I'm going to throw out a diagnosis that I'm sure Hami and Mark have never heard of. And unfortunately, I see lots of people with this diagnosis. And the diagnosis, it's terrible, is called butt crack disease. If you don't want to get butt crack disease, then get your butt off the couch. Now, what's butt crack disease? Well, guess where cognitive decline starts in the body? Cognitive decline in the body outside of some blunt object injury or, you know, head injury starts in the liver. It starts in the liver. The liver is the oil filter for your body. If you're not cleansing your liver through exercise and nutrition and hydration, the oil filter of your body gets clogged up. And guess what that does to your brain? It results in the plaques and tangles and all the free radicals. And you suffer cognitive decline to where you no longer have the cognition to wipe your own butt crack.
Wow.
We have to put you in a facility and have some big, ugly CNA named Butch wipe your butt crack for you. But I don't know, maybe you're into stuff like that. But if you want to avoid butt crack disease, then get your butt off the couch and get moving. It will help your cognition. There's some research there about that, that a group of elderly people, and this has been 20, actually has been 30 years ago, who are suffering cognitive decline, just started doing cardiovascular exercise, I think, 18 to 20 minutes, 3 days a week. 18 to 20 minutes, 3 days a week, significantly, by statistical measures, improve cognitive status. When you're doing what Mark and Hami are talking about, you are actually protecting your brain. You're actually making it more resilient. Now, quickly, back to the motivation. Motivation is built on a thought process. And then, so motivation is built on the back of your thinking. And then discipline is built on the back of motivation. What Hami was talking about, the feeling you talked about, all those feelings come from what we're deciding to tell ourselves. And the reason he can get up and do what he does, even though he doesn't want to, is because way deep down in his subconscious, in his implicit processing system, IMP for short, IMP, IMPs are little demons, but they can be little demons in your brain, little angels in your brain. He has programmed his brain to find value in getting up and doing his run. Once you tackle that, that's what builds motivation. Find value in it. Some closing thoughts, Mark, on that, and then we'll go to Hami and wrap it up.
T-ballers, time to quit your lollygagging. Get out of the dugout, onto the field, and live the art life.
So I, first of all, Sarah, God bless you for having to just hear everything he has to say with the...
She's been baptized into it. She's an Oprah.
You know, with my, I will say this quickly on my motivation, because I, for the longest time, I was not motivated. And I was like a lot of people where it's like, hey, I need this huge thing to come down and motivate me. And it's, it has to be a second coming every day for me to get out. And here's the thing, like, it doesn't need to be that. Like, a lot of us are not motivated to wake up in the morning and go to our jobs, but we do it because of what we need. We need the money. We need to take care of our families. We need the health care. We do it. And a lot of us aren't motivated to do that. However, we have a contract that we have with a third party that says we're going to do this work and we're going to get paid for it. And I, you know, I tell people, reframe how you look at fitness. Like, I have a contract with myself that I will never get back to that person I was in the past. And that is some, and if I don't do it that day, here's the thing. I don't fire myself. I forgive myself. And people will people will miss one workout or have one bad meal and just throw it all away and say, I can't do this. All right, bring on the chips, bring on the snacks, bring on everything. I gave it the old college try. And they will beat themselves up for months until they try it again. Forgive yourself. It's not that we make it sound like it's serious. Like it's not that serious. If you miss one day, if you miss two, if you miss a week, guess what? The body is resilient and it wants you to work out. It wants you to eat healthy. It wants all those things. So don't look for this big motivational thing. I woke up at 4:30 this morning so I can get to the gym. And I hated it. I literally hated it. And I told myself, get back in bed. One day is not going to kill you. But then I said, I used what Hami said. It's like, I'm going to feel so much better at 10 a.m. I'm going to get the whole, my day is going to be amazing. I have podcast episodes I got to put out today. And I'm going to be productive for the rest of the day. I wasn't motivated, but I had that contract with myself. And I kept it this morning. So that's what I would tell people.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That is wonderful. Hami, some parting thoughts, and I've got one more thing to go and we'll be out for the day.
I think Mark said it best. I think, you know, I'm going to totally mess up this quote, but somebody told me one time, you know, and Dr. Heath, you said it, it's about also later, right? So, you know, you get paid for work you do now. Right. But you don't get paid for the gym work until later in life. So if going to the gym every day is going to add 10 years to your life later on, you don't see that right now. Right. And a lot of people, and we live in this world of Amazon, I call it, where even, you know, people even love Chick-fil-A because the drive-through is quicker. Right. We live in this world where everyone wants everything right now. And I get that. And unfortunately, sometimes you don't see the results of running right now. And also to Mark's point, you know, on Saturday, Sundays, you know, I'm out there running at like 10 a.m. and locally here in Delaware, you know, some people will be like, who know me? They'll see me out on the road running at like 10 in the morning and they shout, it's not 6 a.m. You know, and I laugh at it, but I'm like, you know what? And I tell people like, look, I want to be real with people. I'm still doing it. So you know what? I'm still on top. I'm still, you know, in a better place because I still got it done. Yes, I didn't do it at 6 a.m. So I also want, and Mark, one of the reasons, again, you probably see why Mark and I have so much in common and why we click and are becoming really close and good friends and coworkers. You know, it's getting it done is just the big thing. And being in movement, you know, I think there's no picture, you know, and Dr. Breen, you said it yourself. There's no picture perfect. Nothing is picture perfect. There's no... You know, I think that's the last part I'll say on Instagram, right? My wife jokes sometimes when the kids are crying and being very rude, we want to sometimes post that on Instagram because we want to say like, look, nobody's life is perfect. It's not. I don't care what it looks like on social media. And I think that that's where people get wrapped up in the hype of it all. And don't just do you. Every day is going to bring new challenges. Figure out a way to get over those challenges, but still incorporate some kind of healthy activity. And your mental aspect of it will be tenfold for that. And then the last thing I want to say too on it is, again, it's so much more about mental. You know, I can run 6 miles a day like it's nothing. But sometimes, you know, being with children, being with your family, that's mentally exhausting, right? Like, you know, so, you know, it's really more focused about mental and whether it's psychology some people need, whether, you know, you really need to focus on what do you need to do to be mentally healthy. And again, I've been fortunate to find that running brings me mental clarity. And for some people, if that's medical attention, psychology, everything, figure out what you need in life to be mentally healthy. I think that's where people sometimes overlook it. And we talk so much about health, but figure out what you need to be mentally healthy. And again, for me, I was fortunate that I found that physical activity helped my mental health.
Thank you so much, guys. We've covered so much today. Turning fumes into fuel, the mechanics of running, not just for life, but for mental health and for your family, for yourself. Stephen Covey, the author of a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, once asked, have you ever been too busy driving to stop and get gas? And exercise and running, that can be turned into your fuel. Mark can be reached at 988lifeline.org. That's 988lifeline.org. And his mission is to make sure we advocate for people not feeling ashamed and to reach out for help. We're all in this together. Hami can be reached at 6amrun.com. 6amrun.com. And his mission is that 6amrun believes improving everyone's physical ability to not only have motion, but to stay in motion. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. And that's one of the laws of thermodynamics.
We journey now with Doc Heath as he submerges with our special guest into the depths beneath the dark recesses of the therapy couch.
One more quick question, guys. At the end of our episode, we're going to go down deep beneath the dark recesses of the therapy couch and ask you a bit of a Freudian question. Sarah's going to put me on the overhead, and I'm going to dig this out from underneath the couch. And it's the same question for both of you. You can take turns here thinking about it, whoever wants to jump on it first. But here's your question. What would you imagine your worst nightmare about running? What would be your worst nightmare involving running?
I will go first because, and I think it just needs to be brought up. And there, you know, back a couple of years ago, we had the unfortunate incident with Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, and that was a couple hours away from me. And if people don't know that what happened, you know, just look it up. It's national news. But that is, as you know, as a black man running in some pretty rural parts of Georgia, I do have to make sure when I run, the time of day that I run, and making sure that I run with actual running clothes on and not something that looks like I might be going to the gym or just might be out. So I usually have, and this is unfortunate, but I usually like put on all the cool running gear when I go out, so people can't confuse me with anything but a runner. But that would be my biggest fear right there.
Wow, that's an amazing commentary. In our neighborhood, I remember we're on a Facebook group just for the neighborhood, and we had a lot of new people moving into the neighborhood. And all of a sudden, the Facebook group started lighting up. Hey, there's some guy out in dark clothing running. He's up to no good. And my neighbor's comment, he beat me to it. He said, you know, this is a nice neighborhood to run in. Maybe he's just running. Imagine that. Imagine that we normalize human life, that when you see somebody running, that's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's a great commentary, a sad commentary, but a very valuable one. Hami, what's your worst nightmare involving running?
I kind of wish, Mark, you went second with that, because that's something that, you know, again, it's 2022, and I hope that, you know, people can, you know, can address and we can all embrace. So I will say my fear personally is not being able to, right? I saw, you know, Deion Sanders has, for example, been in the news recently for his coaching ability and his new job. And I don't know if people know this, Deion Sanders just had to have his big toe amputated from years of turf toe and injury, right? Deion Sanders will never be able to run again because he's missing his big toe, you know? So again, I wish I didn't go first or second, Mark. But you know, my fear has always been, what if I never can run again? What, you know, again, I'm sure I'll find something physically to embrace and take on. But a fear just, I as I get older, you know, we have a gentleman, you know, that's why I said jogging. We have an 80-year-old man in my neighborhood that's running every day. And I mean, this guy's running at a snail pace. But I watch him every day, and he runs, he sleeps in, he runs every day around 1 p.m. If you ever go out for lunch or in midday, you'll see him running. And I'm not jealous, but I am, what's the word I'm looking for? I am in awe of this man.
That's amazing.
Because at 80 years old, he's still going. And I don't care if it's a snail's pace. You know, my goal, and I don't, so maybe not so much a fear, but a goal of mine. And you talk about Arnold and those other people that are, you know, 70 plus. I want to be that. And I hope God, you know, God willing, knock on wood, I hope God willing, God never takes running away from me.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much for being here. It has been such a wonderful episode. We could spend another hour, but I know you're busy, guys. And on the way out, let me just mention this to you guys as far as some mental programming to develop some of that motivation. personally, I think one of the most motivating things for me when it comes to running and staying fit are the people in front of me. I don't just stay fit for myself. I stay fit for my wife. I stay fit as a great example for my son. The best favor you can do to those that love you is take care of your body. To not do so, think about it, is selfishness. You're not doing that. The not taking care of yourself for them, you're being selfish with that. Don't be selfish. Stay fit for the people in your orbit of life. Thank you for joining us. Thank you guys for being here. Come back for the next episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab. Have a great week, all. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Guest analyst, Dr. Jung Etart, reporting for Art Lab's psychomological couch duty for Dr. Freudnot, on sabbatical being psychovacationalized. Our fleet-footed duo, Hami Mahani and Mark Passant, PMS performance places them in the 96th percentile on the PMS's ETRS, early to run scale. This indicates a fantastical degree of finely fettled fitness on Mark and Hamani's cortical crevices, and a remarkable robustness in both mind and body. Overall, these redoubtable Roadrunners PMS psychosilly metric assessment results present a picture of individuals in a state of indomitably indefatigable fealty to fitness, and who tame these torrential implicit inuring impulses by gifting the gospel of good-footed living to multitudes of like-minded lovers of fitness. This tenacious team likely has a tremendously propitious prognosis of aerobic achievement in the near future, until the oxygen-efficient features of their psyches have been psychobiologically analyzed and exercised. It is my considered conclusion that Hami Mahani and Mark Passant be prescribed no less than a 307 milligram IS intracellular dose of ronoxacin and a 2300 milligram IC intracardio dose of PRN-6-AMAZOLINE to curtail any callousing cognitions. Dr. Jung A. Tart, guest shrinkstigator, Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Grab some of this episode's guest merchandise, specially designed to help keep this episode's message top of mind in your life. Don't forget friends and family members who could use an Art Lab mental boost, too. Just go to therapybites.myshopify.com.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team. Next time on Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey, T-Ballers, welcome to another episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab with Colin C. Thompson. On today's episode, The Saboteur in the Mirror, The Psychology of Self-Improvement. Today, we're going to talk about the art of self-awareness and intelligent use of intelligence. Imagine that intelligence can be used negatively. The power of programming your brain for success, overcoming hurdles of self-sabotage, building powerful habits for a positive mindset, and Colin's own very special, the X Factor in performance improvement. Colin C. Thompson is the founder of his own company in Shanghai. It's a company focused on business consulting, coaching, and training. Colin has been consulting and coaching since 2016. He holds a certification from the International Coaching Federation. As a result of his coaching services, individuals, teams, and organizations have developed and enhanced their work and leadership skills essential for success both in personal and professional environments. We look forward to our episode today with Colin. And Colin, welcome to the show.
Government legal gobbledygook. Therapy Bites is not intended as a diagnostic or as an alternative to professional clinical treatment. Resources and advice are for information and entertainment purposes only. Brought to you by someone saying things you don't like. Tape that nagging loudmouth shut. Government-approved speech tape. Gas tape. Now available at your local hardware store. Therapy Bites Art Lab is not an approved, endorsed, authorized, butt-kissing affiliate of the United States Special Offense Assessment Police. Soap for short. Warning.
Consumption of Therapy Bites Art Lab content by Kool-Aid drinking, stinking, thinking, social media, pseudo-psychological pushing, wacky woke anti-free speech mumbo-jumbo advocates may cause spontaneous internal skull combustion, stomach discomfort, and or laxative effects. Allergy warning. Therapy Bites is manufactured in a facility that challenges nutty distortions, processes nuggets of accurate, realistic thinking, and life-affirming beliefs. This is the audio version of the legal fine print. Why are you still listening to this when you can catch the next great episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab with a good friend or family member? Really? Are you still there? This is getting silly. Move on to the next psychologically thrilling episode of the best advice on the net. No copay required.
Me eat copay.
Yeah, with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball team. Go ahead. Don't be podgoraphobic. Scoot, scoot, scoot. On to the next episode.